Well, I had to be careful there not to strip a gear. Try to save a little of my voice to preach, but almost blew it on that song. What I'll tell you what, it's a joy to come to church. Man, it's a joy to be in church. And I'll tell you what, when you're out, you just miss things that are special. Every service is special, and God is ministering and speaking. It's just a joy to come and praise our great God and to worship Him and to learn His Word as it is taught here at Emmanuel, through our Sunday school, through our preaching ministry. And it's just a joy. I'm grateful and thankful to be here at Emmanuel, to be on this staff. And I do consider it a great high honor any time that I'm invited to preach. Though, I would say I'm not the most gifted and talented, but that's not the requirement for it. And so it's just, Lord, if you've called me to preach, equip me to preach, give me word, because I don't have nothing in and of myself to say. But I will say this, when you are invited and asked, as I am from time to time, you never know when it's going to happen. Then it happens. And then you say, okay, you know, what to preach? And so oftentimes it just kind of derives from just what I would call my devotion time and stuff, and just kind of where I'm at and kind of what I'm reading. And lo and behold, boom, it just pops there. And that's kind of the case with this message, with this sermon, though I think it is a timely message. I think it is a message that certainly needs to be spoken from time to time for us not to, better lack of words, not to really be aware of it, but we need to be aware of it. And so occasionally I think it's good to kind of talk in this where I'm wanting to go tonight. So, saying all that, go ahead and turn to your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. And once you find Ephesians chapter 4, we'll start in verse 1, and then we'll jump down to 25. So as you're finding that, once you arrive there at Ephesians chapter 4, if you would stand as we give reference to the reading of God's inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, encourage you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. So again, God calls us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. He's the one that pursues us and calls us. We don't pursue Him until He brings to our attention and awareness that we are dead and lost in our sin, and it's only by His grace that we can be saved through the work of Jesus Christ, His Son. Verse 25 says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, fighting, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this time and this opportunity. As we've opened your word, we pray that you would just speak into our hearts and lives. And Lord, help us to have open ears to hear and receive. Lord, do a work in each one of our lives. Lord, that we may grow closer to you and be more submissive and obedient and honoring in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, for the next few moments of our time together, I want us to bring awareness that such a walk of the calling with which you and I have been called, that calling does not go unnoticed by our adversary, the devil. He's certainly aware because he works tirelessly to keep one from coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when one does come to the Lord by faith, then his work is not finished. He just ramps it up a notch. Because certainly he would be glad and joyous to see a Christian fall flat on their face and bring shame and disgrace to the name of the Lord. Smear the gospel. And certainly there is the tendency for that to happen in any one of us. And so tonight, kind of sharing a message just about being aware, being on guard, understanding we do have an adversary that is out to steal, kill, and destroy you and I. And as believers, God has graciously, as I said, called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9 says it this way, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." Yet, praise God for such a salvation to all who have yielded to God's call and received faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. According to Scripture, to the person who receives by faith Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, having confessed and repented of their sin, the Bible says they are given a new nature. They're given a new spirit, a new name, a new home, a new heart, and a new direction. All things are made new in Christ. The old man has passed away, and behold, the new man is alive in Christ. To do God's will and to bring honor and glory to his great name. As much as that is good news to any believer, it is not so good news to the devil and his demonic minions and cohorts. They're not excited about somebody being saved. They're not excited about someone who receives Jesus as Savior and Lord. The devil's plan and purpose, the Bible says, is like that of a thief, that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And again, it would bring pleasure to Satan as we kind of step into this new year. Certainly, understanding the past is the past, and may we not live in it. May we learn from it and grow from it. But yet, as we step into 2019, not knowing what's in store, my prayer is that we would certainly be prayerful and cautious as we step into 2019, knowing that there's great purpose and plan for our life in the Lord Jesus, and He certainly desires to use us for His good pleasure, to use us as we serve Him, to point people to Jesus, that those who don't know the Lord may come to know the Lord. And so, as Paul here in this epistle and other writings brings to our attention that we have a foe, one who opposes a life that seeks to honor and love and obey Jesus Christ. And that's my hope for my own self, my family, and this church body, that we would seek to love, honor, and obey the Lord Jesus Christ as we begin this new year, 2019. Certainly not knowing what's in store, but may we trust our Lord as He leads us and as He guides us. Every human being has areas in their life, which are vulnerable, where we all have areas of weakness. Every one of us have vulnerabilities. I have them, and so do you, and Satan, he picks up. He's aware of these vulnerable areas. Consequently, believers should be especially alert for attacks in the areas where we know we have weaknesses. We know we have struggles in these areas. And just to bring in reality, Satan is aware. And all he needs is just a little crack. All he needs is a little opportunity. If he can kind of get his foot in the door of your life, then he can certainly get further into your life and really wreak havoc and destruction. That's not God's plan and desire for your life. Amen. The Bible commands us not to give an opportunity to the devil to his work. Billy Graham has described and declared, "Don't think of Satan as a harmless cartoon character with a red suit and a pitchfork. No, he is very clever and powerful, and his unchanging purpose is to defeat God's plan at every turn, including his plan for your life. Don't give the devil an opportunity to run your life, rule your life, and ruin your life." Tonight's message I've entitled, and it's coming from straight from the text, is "Don't give the devil an opportunity." Don't give the devil an opportunity. Notice with me as we read verse 1, and there's a call to walk in a manner worthy of the calling on your life, your salvation. God has called you now to live for Him, to bring Him good pleasure, to let Him rule and run your life. And if you let Him rule and run your life, you won't be in ruins.
That's right.
Right? He's not going to ruin your life. He's going to bless your life. And so here in verse 25, Paul points out a few ways, a few means, a few methods, though this is not an exhaustive list. He does give a few here by which the devil gains opportunity in our lives and will wreak havoc. And so we want to look at just a couple of these right here in the text and say a few words. But here I want you to notice that there is lying, there is anger, there is theft, there is corrupt speech, and there's bitterness. These areas are certainly very common. They were common then, they're common now. We certainly see them outside of the church, but they're also inside the church. If we're not careful, they can be in you and they can be in me. And to understand, by giving the devil an opportunity, the way you give him opportunity is you live by such ways, lying, stealing, getting angry and mad, bitter, speaking just what I call filth, foul mouth. Those things will allow the devil to get in and corrupt your life. And so we want to look at these things in hopes of, number one, being aware that these are real struggles among us. And we also need to be aware that the struggles that we face, we have one who will help make a way. When we're tempted to fall into these sins, then he'll make a way. But where I was going a while ago is the fact that these sins, if we just let them in our life and do nothing about it, that's where things get really dark. That's what you call unconfessed sin. These are sins that so plague you and I from time to time. And not only these sins, but there's others. We could spend all night in here discussing various types of sin that plague us, but yet these are some that are certainly more popular or more noticeable and understandable, and we kind of understand them. But yet unconfessed sin, and that's another thing that we need to check our heart on in order not to allow the devil an opportunity. Because if we just sin and we don't do nothing about it, then that sin's just going to fester and it's going to grow and it's just going to really take over our life, and we're going to get in some dark places, and we're going to be experiencing defeat and despair, depression, all sorts of things that are a part of Satan's character, his plan, and his purpose in order to drag you down. But lying, well, lying, simple, it's dishonesty. You know what, for the believer, just to make it plain and simple, be honest. Yeah. Tell the truth. Don't be dishonest. A lie is a statement that is contrary to fact, spoken with the intent to deceive. We are commanded in God's word to not live out a lie, but as believers, to know the truth, speak the truth, and live by the truth. You say, what is truth? God's word is absolute truth. That's why as believers, we need to be in the word. Being in the word is going to help you not give the devil an opportunity to wreak havoc in your life. When a person believes a lie, when a person tells a lie, lives a lie, then Satan is at work. He's working. If you lying, he's working in you. John, speaking of Satan, in John 8:44 says, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. He speaks a lie. He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Paul urges us in Colossians 3, 9, and 10, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. As a believer, the old man is past, yet the new man is alive. The old man was about lying. The new man should be about telling the truth. Now, whenever we speak truth, the Spirit of God is pleased and worked. You see, at where we were in verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. What we should be about is seeking to please the Holy Spirit and not grieve the Holy Spirit. And so when you're telling the truth, then you're pleasing the Holy Spirit, but when you're lying, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. Whenever you tell a lie, you please the devil, and you're part of his work. Now, we are immersed in a culture which reeks of and oozes deception and falsehood. I mean, you just look around you, deception and falsehood, lies are all around us. You know, the story is told of a baker who suspected that the farmer who was supplying his butter was shortchanging him based on weight. His suspicions were confirmed when the baker carefully checked the weight of the butter for several days. Infuriated, he had the farmer arrested. But the judge threw out the case when the farmer explained he had no scales. So he used a 1-pound loaf of bread purchased from the baker as his counterbalance. You're talking about deception and falsehood. It's everywhere. It plagues our society and our culture. But we're not to be like the culture. We're to be different. And to be different is to be like Christ. And to be like Christ is to speak the truth, because he is truth. Discard for truth and a habit for lying is everywhere, and oftentimes it shows up even in the life of Christians. Lying should not exist among followers of Christ, who is truth. Lying is a sin against God. It tarnishes and taints the gospel witness that we have as believers. If Satan can get you and I to be deceptive in our speech, telling little lies here and little lies there, being a little deceptive here and a little deceptive there, and it go unconfessed and unrepented of, listen, the devil will take a foothold and he'll corrupt other areas of our life. I've heard it say, if the devil gets a foothold, then he can easily get a stronghold. And a stronghold is though the devil's got you by the neck and he's just squeezing you. Now, one part is he may have a hold of your foot. But if we don't come clean with our sin, then he'll just continue gaining ground. And he'll get to a point of a stronghold. And that's not a place God desires anyone to be. And that's not a place that I desire to see anyone. But I can tell you, in my life, through the years, I've seen people. They've compromised. They told a little lie here and a little lie there. They've done a little this here and a little that there. And they didn't really come clean about it. They didn't confess it. They didn't turn from it. And before too long, they're down at the county jail. Before too long, they just strung out. You're hearing about a testimony of just doing ridiculous, wicked, foolish, evil things. And the whole time, Satan's sure enough just, yes, keep doing it, keep doing it. You're right, you're right, you're right where I want you. Yet, as we talk about lying, I'll lie to the IRS concerning my taxes. I'll lie to my spouse through a concealed affair. I'll lie to my teacher by turning in work that I've cheated on. These little things, sometimes big things, they give devil an opportunity and a place in your life. And as a believer, the devil don't have no place in your life. Don't please the devil by lying and grieve the Holy Spirit. Speak truth and please the Holy Spirit and do not give the devil an opportunity. The temptation within all of us is there to be dishonest and deceptive. But a way of escape has been made and is there for the believer, as I said earlier, to tell the truth. So we need to learn from the truth, love the truth, and then live according to the truth. But then notice, second, as we highlight lying and how the devil uses that, he also uses anger. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And here, just for a moment, there is proper anger. There's what I call good anger. God himself is sometimes angered. Jesus was angry, for instance, when he cleansed the temple. Mark 11:15. So they came to Jerusalem, and then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. So there is good anger. There is righteous anger. Proper anger is a sign of spiritual health, spiritual maturity, but yet we got to be careful with anger, because anger can get hot, and anger can burn. In and of itself, anger is not a sin, but it is difficult for us to practice a truly holy anger or righteous indignation because our emotions, just remember, we're tainted by sin. We still struggle with a sin nature. And so even in anger, our emotions can get the best of us. And we do not have the same knowledge that God has in all matters. And so we've got to be careful and cautious when we are angry at something. So in anger, we must be very, very careful, because anger often leads us to sin and grieve the Holy Spirit. To me, I just think of this. I know there's a lot of passion toward this, and rightfully so. Abortion. Abortion is a sin. It is the killing of innocent children. And we should hate abortion. We should be angry at that practice. But we got to be careful, because if we don't keep our spirit in check, then we'll become angry at those who may be performing these procedures. And that anger can really take on life in such a way that we become bitter at that person. And then bitter can spew into malice, and now before too long, and we've seen it happen, that someone loses their life. There's good anger and there's bad anger. And all of us, I think, can relate at times to bad anger in our life. Just recently, in my own life, certainly I love ministering here at this church, and at times ministering can be challenging. It can be frustrating, and if I don't check myself, my frustration may lead to some anger, and I may get angry at someone, and it just so happens I got angry at someone the other day, and out of my anger, I said something what I would consider unkind, and after I said it, well, you know what happens. The Holy Spirit says, son, come here. Let me tell you something right here. You see, you displaying bad anger. And no place for that in you. Because it's not beneficial.
That's right.
It's not good. It gives the devil a foothold in your life. And so, well, what did I have to do? I had to make some calls, and I had to do some apologizing. I had to come clean, number one, with the Lord. Lord, that was wrong. That's sin. God, help me to turn from that sin and to do it no more, because I know it's not beneficial and it's not good. And then make some calls to make things right. But that's just how easy these things, and Paul knows that, and he understands that, and he's saying, hey, the devil's real. The devil is out. He's out to attack. He's out to harm, and he wants to just get in, and whatever the truth is, he wants to twist it around. Yet if there is sin of anger in your life, in my life, we must deal with it and settle the matter quickly before the sun goes down. Don't let anger and sin just kind of linger in there, because it can definitely begin boiling, all right? And it can definitely wreak havoc. So we need, in a timely manner, regardless of what sin it is, when we sin, I believe as a believer, as a Christian, the Holy Spirit is going to deal with us, and when he deals with us, either we can kind of submit and fall under his dealing with us and get right, or we can kind of bow up. And we're going to say, I hear what you're saying, but I tell you what, I'm not going to do that. And I'm telling you what, the devil said that, that's the way you think right there, buddy. Hey, I can work with that. I can work with you. And he'll do just that. And it's not, I mean, it may be comical in a sense, but I'm telling you what, the end result is destruction. Now, here it is. So Satan hates God and God's people. And when he finds a believer with the spark of anger in his heart, he will fan the flame and fuel the fire, and great destruction and even death may follow. But then notice quickly right here, theft. So there's lying, there's anger, and there's theft. Just as Satan is a liar, a murderer, he is also a thief. And he wants to steal our joy. He wants to steal our happiness. He wants to steal our peace. He wants to steal our sanity. I mean, he wants to steal our marriages, our finances. He just wants to get in and steal all that is good in your life. He wants to steal it. He wants to take it away from you. And if you ain't careful, you'll let him take it from you. Theft, like all sin, is serious and leads to major problems and trouble. laziness, covetousness, taking are characteristics and qualities of Satan. That's what Satan does. I mean, Satan, his character, he does work tirelessly, but yet laziness in the heart of a person will cause them to what I would call look around, see what other people's got, and want it and not work for it. God's called us to work and to work hard. Covetousness, looking around and getting to that point where you take. Those are things that Satan does. Honesty, hard work, and generosity is characteristics of Christ. And so here, God has called us to work hard, do right on the job. Make a living, provide for a family. But then in context here, he would say, be generous and gracious to those in need. Because you know what? That's a picture of the gospel. Aren't you glad that God was generous and kind toward you and me with grace? Don't give the devil opportunity. Just simple right here. If it don't belong to you, don't take it.
That's right. Yes.
And you say, oh, this is a little 5-cent eraser. You know, a 5-cent eraser can turn into a $5,000 four-wheeler.
You got it.
And it can turn into a $10,000 mobile home and different stuff. Or RV, whatever you call it. Different things. But you see where I'm going? You take something small, you think, oh, I got it, it's mine. And you don't realize, hey, I just stole. I've just sinned against God. God, forgive me. You keep taking and stealing little things, then little things turn into big things, and big things turn into big trouble. Trouble. You see, the devil, that's all he wants to do. He wants to get you in trouble. And God has made a way for you to stay out of trouble. And if we'll just follow his word and his way, then we'll be just fine. So don't steal. And then corrupt speech. The mouth and the heart are connected. Y'all know that? Mouth and the heart are connected. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in your heart? Anger? Bitterness? Jealousy? Or is there love and grace and kindness, patience and goodness? What's in your heart? Because the Bible says what's in your heart is going to come out.
That's right.
And the other question is, who's in your heart? Is Jesus? Have you received Jesus as Savior Lord? Because of all the attacks, the different ways and forms that Satan attacks, in sin, we are dead in our sins. And we're headed to a Christless eternity. And we're just at the, I guess, the hand of Satan in a sense. But yet, if we'll come to that point, recognizing and realizing that we are sinners and that Jesus had died on the cross, was buried, and rose again on the third day, and that he paid for your sin and my sin, and that if we'll trust in him to be our Savior and Lord, then I'm telling you what, we can be free. And we can have Christ in us, and Christ in us, greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. And through Jesus Christ, we can be overcomers. Instead of being overcome by the devil, Christ wants us to be overcomers. And it had come through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So corrupt speech, our speech is to be a vehicle and a demonstration of the grace of God. Paul tells us to speak in such a way that what we say will build up our believers and not tear them down. Our words should minister grace and help to draw others closer to Christ. Our speech, we're always talking. Some of you talk more than others, but we always talking. Well, how is our conversation? Is it laced with grace, or are we spewing filth? I mean, are we talking smack and trash? Are we lifting up people? Are we encouraging people? Are we speaking truth into the lives of people? Put away the dirty jokes, the gossip, and the slander that makes fun of and breaks others' spirits. Words are powerful. Our speech is powerful. Use it for good. Speak good. It's just simple. But this stuff's simple, ain't it, Brother Lynn? It's just simple. Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't be angry. And then watch your mouth. Put God's word in so it comes out. Satan, of course, wants to use or wants to be, wants us to be malicious and mean-spirited, sarcastic, and belittling in our speech. He encourages and he tempts believers to tear down people and destroy the work of Christ. You know, we don't never know how God is at work in other people's lives. And if we come in, certainly giving testimony that we're saved and we're a believer, but then we come in and talking sideways and talking foolish, crazy, filthy speech. Here God's trying to do a work in somebody's life, and if we'll come alongside of him and partner with him and speak truth into that person's life, then our speech then will be good and edifying. But yet, if we use that filthy speech and language, you know what we've done? We've given the devil a foothold to get in.
You're right.
Now, he'll say a lot of things, but ain't none good.
That's right.
Right? Yet in closing, our time is up. Bitterness. When someone does something we don't like, we harbor ill will against them. Whoo, man, all of these are tough. In my preparation, it wasn't easy to read and kind of study these things. And as I'm reading, God's dealing with me. The Spirit of God is dealing with me in all these areas in some capacity. And I'm telling you what, I'll be honest with you. After reading and studying, the only thing I knew to do was fall on my knees and ask God to forgive me. Forgive me for some areas in my life that's not pleasing to him. And that's what he's going to call you to do. Areas of your life that the Holy Spirit brings to that doesn't honor the Lord and that gives foot to the devil. He's going to say, hey, you need to come clean. You need to start living right and doing right and being right. But yet bitterness leads to wrath, and wrath and anger often leads to fighting. And even in the context of the church, my goodness, church members get sideways, get angry with one another, get bitter, and then we want to be fighting on church ground. You think, man, that never happened. Don't tell me. As long as I've been in the ministry, I've seen some, sure enough, I mean, they come this close from knocking each other out. And I'm thinking, really? This is how the church is supposed to act. And then you know what happens? When that happens, you say, well, people don't know it on the street, but everybody talks about it on the street.
Right.
And then people say, well, my goodness, what, are they going to set up a wrestling ring down there at the church next? Because it sounds like they got a bunch of hotheads in there because of bitterness and anger. And we can get sideways because we don't check ourselves. We don't come to the point where we acknowledge that, hey, we're in the wrong, and we don't come and apologize when we need to apologize. We don't come and say, I'm sorry. We don't come and say, we need to get this right the right way. Bitterness gets you to a point where you handle things the wrong way. Well, Brother Matt, how do I win? How do I get this thing going? You're talking about how the devil's on the attack. You've shared a couple of means and ways in which he uses lying, stealing, anger, corrupt speech, bitterness. Certainly, I can identify with those things. Matt, how do I win? How do I get it right? Surrender your life to the Lord. If you've never given your heart and life to Christ, that's the first step you need to take. Give your heart to the Lord. Surrender your all to Him. Make Him Lord of your life. Then the Lord will prepare you and ready you and help you with the attacks that come from the adversary. Get in the Word. Some of you, it'll make a world of difference in 2019 if you'll get in the Bible. You say, my goodness, I didn't know life could be so good. But if you'll get in the Bible and let the Bible get in you, I'm telling you what, you'll have a great year. You'll have a great year. Get in the Bible. Get in the Word. Let it saturate every nook and cranny of your life. Hey, church, pray regularly. You know one of the reasons you're defeated and Satan's got you down, knocking you out, is because you ain't praying. You ain't calling on God. You ain't talking with God. But talk to God about what's going on in your life. Pray. Seek His face. Turn to Him. And I'll tell you what, He'll stand for you. And He'll fight your battles. Pray. Attend church faithfully. Hey, I'm glad you're here in church tonight. Church is a great place to be. Do you know that? You need to be in church. Church, attend it faithfully. I'll tell you, the worship we've had, I've been encouraged. If I was out there on the golf course, I'd be mad. In the church house, I'm glad. Being in church makes the world difference. You get to praise the Lord because He's worthy. You get to hear His word taught in Sunday school and in church. Read the word, but then listen to the word as it's proclaimed. Church is a great place to be. Share Jesus freely with others. You know, one of the greatest ways to live a life that honors God and pleases Him is when we're talking about His Son, Jesus. You start talking and sharing your faith, just that in and of itself will help you to not lie, not be angry, not steal, not have foul mouth, and not be bitter. When we start telling people about what Jesus has done in our life, I don't know about you, but it blesses my heart. Because every time I tell somebody about Jesus, I'm reminded them about what Jesus has done for me. And if we can keep ourselves reminded about what Jesus has done for us, then it'll help us live right and steer clear from living wrong. And one of the last words I give you is resist. Resist the devil, and he shall flee. For James 4:7 says, resist, and he will flee. How do we do that? How is that possible? Revelations 12:11 says this, they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not the lives even to death. So we're conquerors through the blood of Jesus and what He has done on the cross for you and me. He's made a way for us to live victorious lives and not be defeated by our foe, the devil. So may we embrace Jesus, speak Jesus, and trust Jesus.